Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, welcome back to the Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, 5-9thefan.com. We are live from the Home Loan Expert headquarters. That is Ryan Kelly, 314-781-9700, or you go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Check him out. He was on the whole first segment telling us everything we needed to know about the Baton Death March that they're going to be doing, the Baton Death March. In fact, Andy Hill used to sort of joke with us about our second scrimmage. Felt like it was 10,000 plays long, and he said, "Boys, this is your Baton Death March." And it was a good time to give us a history lesson, and he would explain to us exactly what Ryan Kelly just explained, what was a miserable time for some 10,000 American soldiers during World War II. So, anyway, good stuff, good history lesson, and next year, if you feel like going, he's going to take 50 people with him, so make sure you're a part of that. Hey, 855-282-8255, I will pull up the text line. Now, you guys were unbelievable yesterday. That may have been our best text day ever, and we even missed a couple good ones that when I pulled my computer back up, it was loading. John Hadley, by the way, has stepped away for the moment, and so we will, if you would like to greet him with some fat jokes, with some imbecile jokes, with some, I don't know, anti-millennial, whatever you would prefer to make fun of him with, absolutely. In fact, Gibby jumping right in with a, hard to explain, but it's a guy that I would imagine John looks just like this with his shirt off. And it says, "I am sexy and I know it." So there you go. Let's get into a little bit of NFL talk here. If you guys were asleep last night at about 6 p.m., I don't know why you would have been asleep, but I would suggest waking up and reading about what I think is the change of the NFL occurring before our eyes. The NFL for years has avoided trades, and I think it's because some of the monster trades over the years have there is rarely a trade in the NFL that works out for both parties. The Marshall Faulk trade obviously far and away favored the Rams. The Herschel Walker trade set the Cowboys up for a decade. The Ricky Williams trade crippled the Saints because they wanted the draft pick to go get Ricky Williams and gave up literally their entire draft. So rarely do trades work out well for both sides. So the NFL, having watched all of these crippling trades, they're not just like bad trades, they are crippling trades. Like, legitimately, Minnesota was crippled when they acquired Herschel Walker. So when you have these crippling trades, then you have general managers who follow up without or being tentative. So we haven't seen it for years. Whereas in the NBA, you see trades all the time. In the NHL, Shea Weber was traded for PK Subban, right? You traded your captain for the face of another franchise. That stuff happens in other sports. In baseball, you'll see legit trades, especially at deadline time. Legit players get thrown to other teams all the time. In football, it hasn't happened. I think we're to the point where it's going to start happening now. And you saw the Antonio Brown. That was a little bit different. He demanded a trade, and there have been people for years and years demanding trades, and eventually they get it. But the Odell Beckham Jr. thing, I think, is where we're moving over. Odell Beckham Jr., if, again, you were not paying attention last night, was traded to the Cleveland Browns. The terms were as follows. The Giants receive a first-round pick in 2019, only the number 17 overall pick for a 26-year-old who is under contract. Now, it's a big contract. It, I think, is the biggest receiver contract ever, and I think Antonio Brown's getting a higher annual value now with his new contract with the Raiders. But at the time, it was.
It's contractually, it is a four-year contract, but there's no way that Odell Beckham doesn't start demanding an extension by 2021 with 2 years left. He'll
let me finish.
The contract decreases starting next year. So.
First round pick in 2019. This year, they gave their number 17 overall pick. They have two. So this is where people are getting confused. People are reporting that it's the second round pick. That's not true. It is their second third round pick. So they acquired the Patriots' third round pick. So this is a very late pick this year. The Patriots, obviously, Super Bowl winners. I would imagine this is the last pick of the third round. So it's essentially a fourth round pick or so. And then
Probably will be the last pick. Because of compensatory?
Yeah, sure. There you go. But yeah, the 32nd pick or so of the third round. And then you have Jabril Peppers, who was their first round pick. Was it last year or 2 years ago? It was one of those 2 years. and he's fine. They had to replace Landon Collins. Jabril Peppers, I'm not sure that's a good fit, to be honest with you. He's not so much like Landon Collins. He is a roamer, and we'll see if it fits. But they wanted to get a guy, and they got another first-round pick. So they got a first-round pick, and they got a former first-rounder and a third-rounder for the youngest available wide receiver talent of this pedigree ever. Has there ever been a 26-year-old? Well, I can tell you this definitively. There has never been a 26-year-old with this much production in his career that has ever been available and or switched teams. I think Jerry Rice had similar production. Randy Moss had similar production. Moss obviously was moved to the Raiders at some point in his career because of behavior issues. But this type of trade lends you to believe if this isn't just an absolute fall-off-a-cliff moment for the Giants, this type of thing may be available in the future because there are disgruntled stars everywhere. And he was a disgruntled star. He got into it all year last year. We saw Le'Veon Bell, disgruntled star. You saw what went with him. Antonio Brown, disgruntled star. Earl Thomas, disgruntled star, right? We see them now all over the place. Earl Thomas, by the way, just signed a four-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to fit in just fine over there. Adam Schefter reporting that a little bit earlier. And so you have a lot of disgruntled stars. If these trades start to work, Rock, I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking NBA, Major League, all the other sports do this. I wouldn't be surprised if this opens the door.
I just think we see this in waves in the NFL. I think it's always been that way. We'll have a season where there's a bunch of trades, and like you said, most of them come back end up being worse, you know, worse for the teams that acquired them. And then we have 3 or 4 years where it's just dead. We're just a dead zone in the trades, and then we get another time where kind of ramps back up. Now I think overall, probably since 2010, I think in the last 9 years, there's probably been more trades than any other like 10-year period in the NFL. I'd venture to guess that because
here's the other thing.
This is the second or third time I think we've had this conversation. Or this conversation has been had since about 2010.
I don't recall that
at least the second time.
But I will say, I think what allows this. So the reason oftentimes you can't move a guy even if they're disgruntled is because it's a contract, right? And the contract's too big, takes up too much cap space, and it's an issue to move him. So nobody wants to give up anything legitimate to get a guy with a big contract because you have to not only pay the big contract, but now you've given up some sort of draft compensation or your own players that were probably under better contracts. But again, with the inflation of the salary cap at the rate that it's going right now of $11 million, taking on big contracts is much easier.
Also, I would say that the reason we've probably never seen a lot of trades in the NFL is because of what you're saying. A lot of times there's not you can get out of contracts without having any dead money, without even getting a trade. So a lot of times we hear teams are trying to trade this player, nothing materializes, and they say, well, listen, we're not going to eat any money anyway, let's just cut him. And I think there's a lot of those kind of trades that we never see in the NFL that we do see a lot of times in the NBA or MLB, smaller trades, but the NFL doesn't have to make them because it's easier to clear contracts out of the books. These are rare because we don't usually see teams take dead money to this level.
I don't know how much dead money was. We know Antonio Brown had the 21
huge dead money, yeah.
But I'm not sure OBJ had much.
16. I want to say at least.
You can figure that out. Bottom line is, there's going to be some dead money, sure. But also, when you're getting back draft compensation, you make up for that dead money because you're drafting a guy that's under a really, really easily controllable contract, right? So when you have some dead money, also, I mean, eventually you're making up cap space in the future. If you have dead money for today, if it's a 3 or 4 year contract, you are freeing up a ton of money in the next 3 or 4 years, and that's the ultimate goal. So, anyway, my point is, one, the Giants lost by a mile, but Jabril Peppers is still a good player. Again, we got to see about scheme fit here. They still get a first round pick again, number 17 overall.
Well, Peppers makes a lot of sense as a Landon Collins replacement.
Yeah,
when you think about Landon Collins playing about half of his snaps technically in a linebacker position, Jabril Peppers seems like he'd be a perfect fit for that.
Yeah, I think Peppers is even more of a linebacker than Collins.
I think
that's
right.
The issue.
I think the issue then what we're talking about is the fact that according to Pro Football Focus, Landon Collins played across slot and outside cornerback, he played like 100 to 130 snaps, I think. That's some Jabril Peppers probably
can't
is not. Can't do it all.
That's what I'm getting at. So you had a guy, Landon Collins, who could do everything.
Yes.
And you have a guy, Jabril Peppers, who can do one thing really well. So we're going to find out about scheme fit. When you lose a guy like Landon Collins, I don't blame them for not wanting to pay the cat $80 million. All right. Then he signed what was his final contract with Washington?
Collins?
Yeah. It was a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, 66?
whatever it was. Bottom line, that was domino number one yesterday, and I do think it's going to open up the door for some trades in the future here. Domino number two.
By the way, just a quick little point. The trade for the Olivier Vernon and Kevin Zeitler trade was actually meshed into the Odell Beckham trade, and they just kind of didn't get the picks they traded in that trade actually reverted back to the teams, and it just kind of became an Olivier Vernon and Kevin Zeitler became part of the swap.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird, but nonetheless, I think it actually kind of makes the deal a little bit worse for the Giants.
That's as much of a wash as anything. I don't. We'll see.
Collins got 6 for 84.
Okay,
it was,
I thought it was 80 million.
No. 44.5 guaranteed.
So there you go. I don't blame them for not wanting to pay him that. Jabril Peppers on a rookie contract, certainly a more controllable asset for that time period. The other big domino to fall yesterday was Le'Veon Bell. Now, Le'Veon could not have misplayed his hand anymore. And you know that it wasn't his agent telling him to do this because no agent in their right mind would give up 3%. Now, you may have a different deal, but the standard contract is an agent gets 3%. So do 0.03 Rock times $14.5 million. That is $435,000 from a single client. All right, that's what he would have made last year from Le'Veon Bell alone. $435,000. Do you think there's any way in hell that an agent says, hey, sit this year out? So that wasn't the advice his agent gave him. That was his own advice, and he said, I'm standing up for the cause. No, you're not. You are the outlier to begin with. Le'Veon Bell, you passed up. This is a good tweet, actually, from laying out exactly what happened from Adam Levitin. So Schefter tweeted out Le'Veon Bell's four-year deal with the New York Jets has a max value of $61 million, includes $35 million guaranteed. But those are with incentives. The contract itself is $52.5 million over 4 years, $35 million guaranteed. Okay, Le'Veon Bell turned down a five-year, $70 million deal with $33 million guaranteed with Pittsburgh last July. Then he passed on $14.5 million last year on the franchise tag. So do the math on that. $61 million, Rock, divided by 4 is $15.25 million. 70 divided by 5 is 14. So he got $1.5 million more dollars per year, and he got $2 million more guaranteed. And in order to do that, he gave up $14.5 million fully guaranteed in the meantime. This was idiotic. He will never, ever make up that money. And the only thing that he can sell at this point is that, hey, I'm fresh. I have the year off. I'm getting to be a little bit older back, but it doesn't matter because no other back has ever gotten to save a year in their prime like I did. I got to work out for a whole season. Everything's cool. The production that you've seen out of me is something we've hardly ever seen. I mean, it's like this is Marshall Faulk numbers. This is Brian Westbrook did it for a very, very short time. You don't see guys who have this many. What do you have, 600 and something? With 60 catches, like 600 yards receiving, something like that. He's going to be a 1,200-yard rusher. In fact, the over-under came out for all of his stuff recently, and I will pull that up. But bottom line is that's what he's going to be selling, and none of you should buy it because nobody in their right mind passes up $14.5 million and tells you they're going to make it up on the back end and then signs a worse contract than the one you were offered by the team.
He's going to make it up on that deal that he signs when he's 34.
Here is the over-under for rushing yards this year, 1,200.5. Rushing yards, 600.5 receiving yards, and touchdowns, 10.5. Now, what's interesting is...
Under, over.
What's interesting is he's going to get the ball so much, he could actually hit the over, even if they're terrible.
Yeah.
He's going to be utilized like you've never seen before because Sam Darnold is still going to be a young guy that has nobody to throw it to, so you throw it to him.
Speaking of which... The city of New York is going to be the most boring football city during the NFL season.
Oh, come on. They still got Eli. He's not 60 yet.
Gettleman just came. There's reports now that the Giants are now being forced to convert to a Gettleman-imposed running-centric offense. So the Jets are going to be running the ball 40 times a game with Le'Veon Bell. The Giants are going to be wearing down poor Saquon Barkley, who's going to be out of the league when he's 28. And no one's going to be wanting to watch Jets or Giants games, which is fine because, I'm going to tell you this lately, if no one's watching Jets or Giants games, that means George R. Martin can actually write Winds of Winter. Thank you very much.
Shut up, Brock.
Hey, if he has no football to watch, then he's obviously writing, and that's better for all of us.
5-5-2-8-2. 8255.
And he hates the Patriots. That's why he's a great man.
All right, Super Bowl champs. So, listen, I keep talking about Le'Veon Bell here, but I cannot think of an athlete outside of Maurice Claret that has misplayed their hand more than Le'Veon Bell just did. Maurice Claret, obviously, basically gave up his career attempting to. No, Johnny Manziel was just a troublemaker. Maurice Claret made a career decision that I'm going now, even though I'm not eligible to go. Sued, and then eventually got in the league, and then ended up in jail, right? Like, his career move was, leave now. It is unconstitutional that I can't play in the NFL. Lost the suit, then didn't get to play, right? That is misplaying your hand to the highest degree. Le'Veon Bell is second to that. Maurice Claret, worst ever. Le'Veon Bell just gave up $15 million to get $2 million guaranteed. Quick math on that, Rock. That's $12.5 million that he's not getting.
Yeah, but he could easily be guaranteed at any moment and not make that $12 million in the first place. Obviously, TJ.
No, it was fully guaranteed, even if it got cut last year. That's what the franchise tag means.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the difference between this contract and the one that he was being offered by Pittsburgh.
Offered by Pittsburgh was $33 million guaranteed.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying.
Same
he only
years?
Got two. No, 5 years, okay. $70 million, okay. So it was $14 million bucks,
okay.
Per year, but $33 million guaranteed. This one is 4 years, a year later, all right?
So
$52.5 million.
That's I think, the one thing we should be focusing on is that it's a four-year contract a year later. And it's not like.
By the way, I said 61. The 61 is the max value.
Yes.
His $70 million over 5 years is $14 million per year. Got it?
Okay.
The 52 and a half that's reported without incentives.
Yes.
Is $13.1 million per
gotcha.
Year. So it's less per year than he would have signed with if he had signed with Pittsburgh a year ago July.
It ends the same time.
It ends the exact same time, and he passed on a year of $14.5 million guaranteed in the meantime.
I would very much like to lock his agent in a room.
It's not his agent. It's Le'Veon.
And give him
no way his agent said to do this.
I know, but I'm saying I want to lock his agent in a room and watch him do the mind gymnastics to explain why it was a good deal for his client. Just see if he can do it and watch the internal BSing he has to do to explain it to himself.
He shouldn't.
Here's why it's better for
– He should admit to the players that we have to get a better CBA because we screwed this up. That's what he should admit.
Now, that's the argument. Now, that's exactly what he should – and that's how you turn this from a complete 100% loss of faith into at least some kind of saving.
Like, we tried with
some
this
kind of
CBA,
yes.
And we effed up, as you just see. We lost a bunch of money.
I like that. I like that. That's how you turn that around.
Instead, you have to figure it out.
You know what? I don't know if this is just like a natural thing that you've developed, considering you say stuff that will eventually get you in trouble, but you're really good at this, being able to turn it back around, turn the bad news back around and find a way to like make it seem good for everybody. You have a deft hand at that. As we explain when we talk about these hypotheticals, and I can't tell if it's a natural thing or if it's just you're slowly developing it just in case.
Gino Ogic is correcting me. I'm just telling you that he is talking about fully guaranteed versus guaranteed. There is a difference between rolling guaranteed and fully guaranteed. That is true. There is guaranteed money once you hit a certain point. I'm just telling you what Adam Levitin was talking about. I don't know when the guarantees kicked in on that, but bottom line is there's not a substantial difference when there was $14.5 million fully guaranteed last year that you gave up to begin with. So either way, you're sitting in a very similar spot that you were with now less money per year that you can get unless you hit that $61 million if you hit every incentive. So there you go, Gino. Also, revisiting my argument to make myself look good, my brother today had a meeting with somebody. He's in a leadership position, and so oftentimes he has to meet with other leaders, and it is conflict resolution. And he said, "You're good at debating. What do you think I should say about this?" So, Rocket, maybe a skill, maybe a talent.
I don't know. You're even better at just coming up with ways to save like PR face. You're even better at that than debating. And so I'm just wondering where this very specific. There's very specific niches coming from. And
I should have got myself in more trouble.
Again, I think.
What a waste of gift.
I think you're just sitting on it just in case something happens. I think that's why you say things like today's going to be my fat shaming week and things like that. So you're just like, let's see what. Eventually, I'm going to have to use this skill. It's
coming up. By the way, we're mid-March.
This is why you shouldn't learn Krav Maga, because I feel like you're the kind of person who you're now going to put yourself into dangerous situations so that you can show people, like, yeah, I know Krav Maga, guys. And that's what I'm worried about you.
You don't tell people that you know Krav Maga when you're about to use it.
You don't, but you might.
No. No.
I don't know. The way you talk about it every
I like talking about it now because it's fun, but I'm saying if you're about to get in a fight, you don't tell somebody, hey, right. I'm a trained fighter.
I'm not saying that you would say that before the fight. I'm saying that in your head, I'm worried that subconsciously you're going to put yourself in more dangerous situations so that
I've never been in a fight.
You can show off.
Outside of the field.
And this is again, worries me because now you sound like you're jonesing for it a little bit when you talk about the Krav Maga classes, and so I'm a little worried.
Krav Maga is fun because it teaches you how to get out of compromised situations.
By the way, Adam Schefter now reporting that after the acquiring Olivier Vernon, they are now shopping Emmanuel Ogba.
There you go.
And by the way, congratulations to Lindenwood graduate Pierre Desir signing a $25 million contract with $12 million guaranteed.
That is awesome.
With the Indianapolis Colts. So great for
him.
Well
done,
this is
Pierre.
A guy who almost got run out of the league after it looked like he was having...
He didn't even go Division One.
Yeah.
He went to Washburn, and then he went to Lindenwood.
I'm not even talking about that. When he broke through and got drafted by the Browns, and everyone was like, oh, my God, this Lindenwood guy is getting drafted by the Browns. The Browns were about to cut him, you know, his second year in the league. And for him to get on with the Colts and now to pull a big contract with this $12 million guaranteed,
well
25
done,
potentially.
Buddy.
Good
that
for
is
him.
Awesome.
Great for him.
That is really cool. I played against him a couple times in high school at Francis House Central. That is awesome. Pierre Desir, $12 million guaranteed, $25 million contract. How about that? Proud of that kid.
Let me tell you something.
That is awesome.
Pierre Desir was one of the most intriguing guys on that list because he has shown at times flashes of what a lot of people think he can be.
Between 10 and 19 yards, Pro Football Focus did a study and said he was the single most effective corner in the league last year.
See? And you didn't even need Pro Football Focus. All you needed was this IBM brain called Hadley.
Yeah, IBM. IBM gone bankrupt and gotten sued a few times? There's got to be some IBM.
He was
negatives.
One of those guys where, just based off his measurables, if he didn't go to Lindenwood, if he, he was coming out of Georgia, it's probably worth two rounds.
He was very skinny.
He was,
very,
but he was 6'2 with long arms. In a time, right
when, can run,
in one of the first drafts where people were like, if you have long arms and you're taller than 6 feet, and you're a cornerback, we will draft you anywhere in the top three rounds.
Yeah, but I don't think he ran that well either.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I think he was like a 4.55 guy, if I am not mistaken.
And who signed him?
Well, the Browns drafted him.
The Colts
re-signed
him.
Colts re-signed him.
3 years, 25, 12 million.
See, the interesting thing is, unless the Colts have done something in the last half hour, I am really surprised with the money that they haven't spent. Right. Now, they have some good young key components, and they did bring aboard. They picked up a receiver earlier.
I missed it if they did. Yes?
Devin. They overpaid Devin Funches. I forgot about that.
Devin Funches. But again,
yeah.
You pick up a guy like Funches for a guy like Luck, and I'm not so sure that that's going to be a bad roll of the dice. But
no, but people kept talking about Le'Veon Bell.
Right,
exactly.
Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. I mean, it's just somebody. But that team was not an aberration. They have some good young football players on that team. That defense actually reminded me of some of the old Tony Dungy defense.
From week 7 on, it was one of the highest-rated defenses in the league.
I mean, athletic. Not the biggest guys, but athletic, hard-hitting, tenacious.
To clarify before we go too far from it, Pierre Desir, he had to run outside at Lindenwood for their pro day, which is brutal, and it was raining and all that, but he ran a 4.58 and a 4.59. That's part of the reason he wasn't going to be a first, second, third. I think he ended up being a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
But – anyway, I'm proud of that kid. Just as a local kid, right. That is to fight through that. And he had a child in high school. He had some issues. He got suspended his senior year for somebody took a picture. He had like a beer in his hand at a party. But just kid stuff where he wasn't to fight through all that. Go to Washburn, have to transfer. Go to Lindenwood, get drafted by the Browns when they're in the hellhole, of the place that they were, and to now get $12 million guaranteed and $25 million contract. That is awesome.
You know, it's pretty interesting because in a matter of a year, you've gone from looking at the AFC East as being just a pathetically weak division, with Miami potentially being a surprise, to 1 year later, with the AFC East, based on two of the other three teams, aside from New England, at least on paper, significantly improving their product in Buffalo and the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Has Buffalo done anything defensively?
Not much.
Mostly offensive news, yeah.
Yeah. But they had some players defensively. They had some guys defensively. Right. Now, and with the Jets, too, I think people tend to forget that not only do they have Adam Gase as the new head coach, but they have Greg Williams as a DC.
Sure do.
And whatever you want to say about Greg Williams, he is a legit DC.
Oh, dude, I was not a big fan of him, but I was in the room when he would come in and do his stuff with the Rams. That dude knows football.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, knows it in and out.
That's what I'm saying. So,
And I went in not wanting to like him because of the Bounty Gate stuff.
Right.
So even just as a – it's somewhat a subjective view to begin with of the other direction.
Right.
And I still came away really impressed. Yeah.
So it's if there's one – if there's just the problem when it comes to the AFC East is no matter what happens now, it just doesn't matter. Because 2 hours before fall camp, you could add Josh Gordon. I mean, Belichick doesn't stop improving his football team. Mm-hmm. I love the way that people just make these definitive statements right after free agency's done or right after the draft is done, and yet some of Belichick's best supplementation has been after the fact, after the June cuts, during the course of the season.
Okay.
You just never know. With Belichick, but the AFC East, that's going to be a much more competitive division this year than it has been recently.
Yeah, the Patriots are still going to win it.
Right, I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a whole, it's going to be more competitive.
And the other thing is, Colin Cowherd.
Nobody's close to catching him yet.
No.
Well, I mean, in that division,
sure. Colin Cowherd did he pulled all of the Patriots games out and said, I think it was since 2008. Don't quote me on that, but and he said, everybody's ripping on the AFC East. Terrible division. The Jets, they suck. They're a terrible franchise. Miami, they can't ever. Yeah, they're all about 500. They're all pretty decent football teams. The Patriots just beat the snot out of them and make the records. Like, take the Patriots wins out. Patriots win 12 games every year. Take those wins out. Playing each other and everybody else in the league, they're all 500 teams. And you guys are telling me how bad they suck. No, you're just playing against one of the greatest franchises in the history of sports. That's what's happening. And now, you and I both agree, the AFC East has been easier than a lot of other divisions, right? If you enter the Packers in some of the early years of Aaron Rodgers, the Patriots wouldn't be dominating this way, or at least you would have a couple double-digit win teams in the same division. The Patriots have definitely had some luck, but part of the these guys sucking, it's like the Nick Saban effect. Nick Saban has made everybody else in the SEC fire really good coaches because you can't catch the ultimate guy. And so that's what keeps happening. And Rex Ryan got chased out. He was a decent coach. Chased out because he was trying everything he could. He was like Dusty Baker. He was having meetings about the other coach. Whenever you start having meetings about the other coach, you've lost. And Rex Ryan was having meetings about how to beat Bill Belichick. We got to go break. But John, we got a great text yesterday, and it came in just as we were going off the air. But you know how you throw out your line all the time, and you threw out to Bob Ramsey. He said, yeah, it was about as useless as a screen door in the submarine. Somebody clapped back. They said, well, it'd keep out the fish. I thought that was pretty good.
Very nice.
Yeah, well done. It's not totally useless. I mean, you're going to die and sink quickly, but there will be no fish dying with you.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right. You just save the fish.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, baby.
I guess the fish wouldn't die from the water since they're in the water, so I don't know if you saved anything, really.
We shall see.
All right. We got to go to break. We'll be back in a bit. It's Hardline.